This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
DiVincenzo three-pointer, no good. Hartenstein, the offensive rebound. He kicks it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo again. Knocks it down! Knicks lead! 13 seconds to go!
I don't know that I've ever loved a Knicks team more than this. I mean, those early 90s teams kind of resembled the city as well, the way they played. But this team defines what New York City is. It's wonderful to watch.
They are the definition of a team. All the things that you hear from every coach as you grow up, I don't care, I'm not even saying professional level, right? Everyone find a role, star in your role, all these things that you need to do. You know, one guy struggles, someone else picks them up. That's who this team is.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
Go New York, go New York, go! Go New York, go New York!
Oh, that's right, Knicks fans, it's all happening. Last night at the Garden, it happened again. Game one, a lot of people said Knicks kind of stole that game. If they stole game one, then last night was like a genius heist, right? With getting that victory. But they get it again. Brunson not very good. Doesn't matter. DiVincenzo was good. And McBride made shots. And Hartenstein played well. And OG defended. And the Knicks somehow, some way, find their way to a highly contested, very difficult win, but a win nonetheless.
Well, they don't ask how.
Who cares, right?
Just ask how many.
It's a line drive in the box score.
That's it. I will say, though, as we move forward here to game three, a couple days off, and then we have game three in Philly. The fact that Jalen Brunson has struggled the way that Jalen Brunson has struggled in the first two games of the series, right? Great for us because we're up 2-0. But at some point now, as we head to Philadelphia, you can't expect the role players necessarily to pick you up.
I think that's fair.
There has to be a game where he
expect a better version of Jalen Brunson.
Right. Because again, I know it's a tall task now because the Sixers have to win four of the next five. But, I mean, you're someone that said Knicks in five. Mm-hmm. Like, as we move through the playoffs, you would like to take care of series as quick as humanly possible.
Absolutely. And I need to, even for more than taking care of it as quickly as possible, one game, they're irrelevant, right? One game, play poorly, don't score, don't shoot well, fine. Two games, I think your ire is raised. Three, four games, now you start to have real concerns. So for that reason that you mentioned, and for the fact that, I mean, you want him to have a good game and put together good games. He's your best player. You need him to be your best player.
He has to be your best player. You said it in the first hour, right? I mean, this is a team now with, the two seed, 50 wins, Jalen having the kind of regular season that he had. Did you have, I mean, especially with what's going on with Milwaukee, like there's a real opportunity here. And this isn't like we'll just be happy winning the first series. You'd like to think that there's a real chance that you could get to the Eastern Conference Finals. If that's going to happen, Jalen Brunson's going to have to be the best version of himself.
I had an idea.
Okay.
I don't know that you're going to love it. I don't know.
I like a lot of your ideas.
So let's call Philly Sports Talk Radio, right?
Yep.
All right. Who the person that you know most kind of like resembles Philly Sports Talk Radio would be who?
Carlin.
Oh, I was thinking someone else, someone that used to work at the station.
Well, I mean, Gunling.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's call Gunling. I mean, Carlin did sports talk. That's why I said
but
that.
I don't think Carlin is he's not from Philly. He's not a Philly sports fan.
No, I was actually thinking that your question was because, who would we call in Philly? And Carlin would know.
Oh, right. But I was thinking maybe we call Gunling. We bypass having to wait on hold with, WIP or whatever their other station is.
I love it.
Or the Fanatic, whatever they are, and we go right to Gunling.
I love it.
Now, here's my concern. And Ray, you can also get involved. Bauer, you can't because you're rooting for Anita.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Last time I did something like this, I mocked him for the injury to Carson Wentz, and they went on to win the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, I don't need you to mock him. I don't think Andrew necessarily deserves to be mocked right now. I heard him on the K show a few days ago. He didn't come into this series with his chest puffed out or anything. So I don't know that Andrew necessarily deserves to be dunked on right now.
Well, I think everybody that's a Philly fan deserves to be dunked on, though.
Why, just because he's a Philly fan?
That's right. I mean, that's exactly right.
Well, I don't think we necessarily have to dunk on him. You don't have to, like, you know, walk out of the studio and, you know, beeline for his desk and mock him to his face.
You just listen to him. He's not going to be able to help himself.
Right. Why can't we just – I would like the Philly perspective, though.
All right. Yeah, Raymond, at some point during the show, maybe like 8:10?
We could look into that. We could look into that.
Yeah. So you want to have, like, a gentlemanly conversation.
Is this a cold call situation, or should I let him know?
What do you want to do, Rick?
No, because if we cold call, only one of us can ask. It's on the cell phone. We can't both talk to him at the same time.
No, but they could run it through the board.
Okay. Yeah, if we do that.
Run it through the board, and then he answers the phone.
Yeah, I think.
Then we attack him.
Right. If we try to set it up, maybe he's a little hesitant, unless I think ambush, probably.
Ambush?
Let's go ambush, yeah.
All right. You probably should carry the conversation.
I'm worried about this. Yeah, I'm actually worried.
I don't handle myself in a professional manner when it comes to
this is what I'm talking about.
Right.
I want you to be you.
But you know, but here's the thing. If I'm me and it blows up in my face, now I'm going to be blamed for the Knicks falling apart and losing a series that they've led to
nothing.
Well,
yeah, and that's the thing. If you can't handle that, then maybe you shouldn't do what you want to do in this conversation.
Like I could hear the phone ringing. And for me to be like, okay, we're going to stay composed. He answers, I'm like, you can't handle us. Like, I'll lose all my composure. It'd be like when I was like on prom night. Like, I have a whole plan in place. And when things start happening, now I lose my composure.
Yeah, but if that happens, it happens. I don't know. Well, I think we try it.
All right.
If you act up, you act up.
Okay.
I just want to be clear about my reservations in this. I just want to be clear.
But because you know what's going to happen. If, God forbid, things go south, you know exactly who's going to get blamed, right?
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, exactly. It won't be you. It won't be you. It'll be all on me.
Well, I think it's fair, though. I mean, you're the one that did it with the Eagles, so.
But I can't help myself.
Well, try.
I can't do that. That's not who I am. My team's beating your team. Your team's a bunch of big babies, and I'm not going to be able to be respectful and kind about it.
All right, how about this?
Andrew's a good fan, and I don't think Andrew would deserve that, but I think it's just it's a me thing.
Okay, how about this?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do the call.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go in with best intentions. And if you do what you do, I think it's par for the course. Or maybe even better, he says something to incite you, and then you just can be.
I don't think he would. He's a very respectful guy.
Wow, but maybe he's very upset.
Well, I would imagine he would have to be very upset.
Like,
all right.
Okay, perfect example. He's very respectful. Conversation is going good. Then all of a sudden, he decides he wants to start making excuses. He wants to stay. He wants to stick up for Nick Nurse.
Right. Now, if he says, like, Nick Nurse was calling timeout and the referee screwed it up, then you unleash me.
Yes. Then you can do whatever you want.
All right. Mike Check says, please don't tempt fate. Please do not do this. Don't tempt the basketball gods.
Ooh. Okay, let's think about it. Let's think. We got a whole hour. Let's think about it.
All right. We will put some thought into this. 1-800-919-3776. Steve in Jersey. Good morning, Steven. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Good morning. It is a beautiful morning in Nick country. Three quick points, and I'll let you guys go. Number one, I love Josh Hart. I love him, but I know they're leaving him wide open. I'm just saying move in a little bit before you take those threes, man. They're giving you a mile and a half. You got plenty of time and space to move him before you shoot those threes. I know he came through in the fourth quarter in the first game. I get it. But, man, oh, man, I'm yelling at the screen, like, don't shoot. Point. But what you guys – I know Hartenstein is a free agent after this year. I would take Hartenstein over Mitchell Robinson. He has one offensive move, that jump hook that seems to always go in. He's more reliable health-wise, and he's better at free throws.
Here's the thing. He's clearly – there's no way I let him walk away, and I think we've discussed this a lot. I would look to move Mitchell Robinson in a trade.
Yes.
So bring back – maybe Mitchell Robinson is involved in the trade that we've talked about for so long.
Hey, however we do it, just get it done. I know Mitch is younger, but I would take Hartenstein in a heartbeat. And my last point – holy crap, I forgot my last point.
No,
let me go. Wait.
No, take your time.
Crap.
What's the last point? Brunson. Sixers.
No,
Nurse.
No, not
time
Brunson.
Timeout. DiVincenzo. Thibodeau.
Oh, screw it. Look, listen, we're going to take – I think we're going to lose one of the next two games in Philly. But we'll win one, Knicks in five, and that's how this is going to go.
That's all I need. That's all I need is win one of the next two. That's all I need.
You got to keep Hartenstein.
You have to.
And you're going to bring back OG, so.
You have to keep Hartenstein. He's too good.
He's better offensively. He's a better passer. I mean, listen, it'd be nice if we could keep both.
It would be ideal. Why? You're not paying a ton to Mitchell Robinson.
No, but you're going to have to be, I mean, look at, you have to pay Hartenstein and OG.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And again, we've never thought that the and I don't want to get into the big picture too much today, but we've never thought that the big picture didn't involve a big trade. To pull off that big trade, you're going to have to trade some guys.
Right. And the other thing, too, is that Mitch's availability.
Right. Which it's every year he's banged up. Al in Holbrook. Hi, Al.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, guys. Where do I start? First of all, this is how my morning is going. You have a guy who emails in saying we talk too much, Nick. and ironically, his name is Nick. Like, you can't make this stuff up. Second, this is where I am. I've watched the Allen Houston infamous bounce in floater. I've watched the Patrick Ewing putback. I watched the LJ 4-point play. This is one of those games. This is one of those games that I will remember forever. This is now it's going in my four. Now it's in my top four. That game, we're finally on the other end of the Reggie Miller type thing. Like, we are the team that does that to other teams. And we are so set up. Whatever happens in this playoff, I'm happy. But whatever happens in this playoff, I know that this offseason we have the team that we are literally one player away. I feel.
Yep.
You
I
know,
agree.
Whether that be Bridges, Murray, Mitchell, whomever that is, like we are right there. And I'm not saying I'm getting off the bus right now because we never know. You know, I've seen the Detroit Pistons with no stars win a chip. So I'm still hopeful, but I know we are so close. We so far from the Phil Jackson era.
We're right there. You're right. Whatever happens, we're right there. But I'll tell you this: if they don't win this series, I will be distraught.
Listen, I understand. Listen, Philly got to win four of the next five.
I get it.
That's no easy task, and I'm telling you right now. I know Jalen Brunson is struggling, but this is what we also have to understand. He requires so much attention. He doesn't have two assists a game, three assists a game. He's 6 and 7, 8 assists a game. So even though he's struggling, I'm sure he'll find his shot, he's still making it easier for other players to score. You understand what I'm saying? So even though, like I said, he's not Michael Jordan, you know, so he's still doing what he needs to do for this team to win. And once his shot comes back, then Philly, I believe, you know, has a very slim chance of winning when Brunson is going. But they're losing, and he's not going is a testament to what kind of team, capital T, this is.
You're right, and it's a good call. And the Knicks are, like you mentioned and Rick said earlier in the show, they are a team. And if one of the members of the team is playing subpar basketball or not what we've anticipated, the rest of them pick it up and they – find a way, because that's what they do and that's what they've always done. Sunday, May the 5th at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. It's a match you just cannot miss. It's Rick and I against Anita and Armani Toomer. Pre-game coverage ESPN New York starts at 9 o'clock with a live broadcast hosted by Anita. She gets the stage all set. Then shortly after the show, the paddles come out for the Pickleball Showdown for the ages. Be there May 5th to witness the showcase event at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. And I think pretty much everyone is rooting for us except for the sloth that is Tom Bauer.
Yeah, a nasty, nasty little lumberjack.
Yeah, because he's rooting for them. More of your Knicks calls. We start to sprinkle around to some other stuff going on in New York sports. We'll do it next on 98.7 ESPN.
The hardest thing about getting into shape is taking that first step. Isn't it time for you to reach out to NJ Diet? They'll contractually guarantee that you lose at least 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to make sure you keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat and not just losing water. And you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations across New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, or available from home with live online video consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET and lose the weight the natural way, quickly and safely. Call 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before the summer and without any shots, go to njdiet.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, here we go. DNR 98.7 ESPN. During the long, long 50-minute uninterrupted, we will get into everything else going on, as well as some CMT. I got a good email, Richard, from Carlos Campos. He says, can you ask Rick? He actually says, can you as Rick? But I imagine the as was supposed to be ask. Or I could answer it as you. What loss as a player is worse, 76ers or Islanders?
Islanders. Absolutely Islanders.
Really? Why? Because the game was 3-0. It was a commanding lead.
Yeah. And, I mean, you played well. You played well in the first game. You had a 3-0 lead in the second game, looking to split against a much better team. And then you try to hold on for dear life. I mean, that's just, you had a chance to steal a game there. Like, Carolina was the better team in game two.
By far.
Yeah, right. You had 5 shots in the second 2 periods, 1 in the third period.
So you had 1 in the third, you had 5 in the final 2 periods, and you didn't get a shot off for 10 minutes in the game.
Right, and then you went, I mean, over 30 minutes with 1 shot to close it out.
Wild.
Yeah, you saw how passive they got.
Yeah, but is that on coaching?
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, so you would blame...
Well, you saw. I mean, I don't know how much of the game that you watched because there was so much going on.
I had it on. I was not like watching intently,
right,
constantly, but I was watching it.
Right. Like, there were times during, like, you'd be watching the game and you'd see, oh, there's the Islanders 3 forwards. Well, where are the defensemen at? Right. Like, I mean, they're so far back with so much room in the neutral zone just so they don't get beat. It's like, yeah, you can't play like that.
It was an ultra-conservative game plan, huh? You think that was the game plan going in? Like, let's be ultra-conservative, or they adjusted it when they got that heavy lead?
When they got the lead.
Yeah.
They had too many penalties, too. Your penalty kill's not good enough. Islanders' penalty kill is stunk.
I was rooting for your Islanders, too.
Yeah, I thought we had a chance. I mean, I thought...
A chance? You were winning 3-0.
Yeah, I know we were winning 3-0, but then the longer the game went on, it felt like it was only a matter of time.
The ice was tilted, as they say, right?
Yeah, like, there were a couple plays, too. What were the plays? They had, at the end of the first period, I mean, they almost give up one there. Varlamov made a huge blocker save at the end of the first period. They had the power, Kane scored the power play goal, then they put in a crossbar, And then the end of the second period, they almost scored where Jarvis hit the crossbar, and then Dobson had a wide open net. Dobson made a huge block. You could feel the moment, like you could just feel it. Like you could feel it coming. And then to have it, to score so quickly where the puck gets, you know, behind the net, hits for a long skate. It was just.
How do you get up from that?
It's tough to bounce back from that. How do you show up for game three? You're going to show up because it's at home. And yeah, like you're going to sell, like we all sell the same stuff to your team. Like it's going to be the same cliche garbage that, hey, you know, we would have loved to have split, but the Canes did exactly what the Canes were supposed to do. Same thing the Sixers will be saying. And Knicks did what they were supposed to do. They won their two home games. They protected home court. Now we go home, and you point to all the positive things. We had a 3-0 lead. If you're the Sixers, you're talking about Jalen Brunson. Seems like we have an answer for him. Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey have been really good. No way their role players show up like that on the road. And you put, I mean, that's the referees cost us that game. We should have won that game. Like, those are all the things that they'll be talking about.
Right, so you go through the mental gymnastics of why it's not so bad.
Right.
But deep down, you probably know that it's really bad.
Well, deep down, if you're the Islanders, you know it's bad because Carolina's the better team. As far as Philly's concerned, they think they're the better team.
Well, I don't think you've watched the Islanders-Carolina series much and thought the Islanders are the better team.
No, but even going in. Like, Carolina is, you're right.
Right.
I saw it yesterday. They're the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. So, I mean, betting favorite. So, like, this is, we talked about this before when we're going back and forth. What's the better matchup? And by the end of it, it was like, doesn't matter. We're not scared. Give us the Sixers. That's fine. In the Sixers' mind, they were 31-8 when Joel Embiid was healthy. When he came back, they didn't lose. They're not a real 7 seed. If he was healthy for the entire season, in their mind, they're a 2 seed or a 3 seed. So they know that they're a really good team. The Islanders, they're good. They're fine, but they're not.
They're not in the same
they're
class
not Carolina.
As Carolina.
They're right, you can not. Say what you want, but you're not.
No, they're not. Let's go to our buddy, Wes in East Hanover. Hi, Wesley. How are you?
Morning, fellas. Morning, loyal listeners. So my wife gave me a choice last night. Yankees had already played. She said, do you want to watch the Braves or do you want to watch the Knicks? And I thought about it, and I said, you know, it's playoffs. Let's watch the Knicks.
Wow.
And I listened to the Braves while I was watching it, but I was not disappointed. In fact, I'm wondering if I should become a Knicks fan. Like, I don't know that I'm going to get into basketball 82 games, but watching these guys in the playoffs reminds me of when I was growing up in the 90s, loving basketball. And I remember that Reggie Miller game like it was yesterday. And I told my wife, I said, man, this reminds me so much of that Reggie Miller game afterwards. And so much. So I just want to say that these Knicks have me wrapped up right now. They've got me trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. Sports-wise, am I going to get in bed with a basketball team? But we will see. But I'm going to keep watching the rest of the playoffs, and we'll see what happens.
So you're loving it. I mean, he is absolutely – you see what's happened now. This Knicks team has forced him to absolutely fall in love. You love the Knicks now, Wes, right?
I do. And it reminds me of just their grit. Like, because I was – so this, I'll make it real fast. I hate New York, or North Carolina, excuse me. But I loved Rasheed Wallace. I'm a Duke guy, but I love Rasheed Wallace. And so I followed those Pistons teams back in the day. And it reminds me of that team, of how they don't have any one person that is the best player at all times on the court, but they have somebody who can be the best player. But they have those three or four guys on the ancillary who can score and pick it up. And last night it was different guys scoring and picking it up. And you do have a chance to play if you play defense and you have enough guys to hit clutch shots. So it reminds me a little bit of that. I don't know that they're ready for that, but it does remind me of that kind of grit that those teams had in Detroit with Billups and Wallace and all Rip Hamilton and all those guys.
All right.
So,
well, thank you for the phone call.
Yep.
We'll appreciate you, and we'll see you, of course, next Thursday. Here's the thing, and this is the second person to bring this up, and this frustrates me. That those Pistons teams, they really had – okay, Ben Wallace was the best defensive player in the world. Rip Hamilton was an excellent player. Chauncey Billups was an excellent player. I mean, the Knicks are not this team. Rasheed Wallace was terrific. Tayshaun Prince was excellent. I mean, they may not have had, like, a top three player in the NBA, but they probably had five top 30 players in the NBA. This Knicks team is not those
right, I don't
Pistons
think, teams. Yeah, but you're right. I don't think anyone's saying that they're the Pistons team. I think there are teams that could remind you of that Pistons team. Don't have
I think
to be
that Pistons team is vastly underrated.
Right, but
they
you don't have to be.
They destroyed the Lakers in the finals.
I understand that, but it's like you can see somebody play and say, he reminds me of that guy. Doesn't mean he's as good as that guy. Like, Caleb Williams does things that reminds me of Patrick Mahomes. That doesn't mean he's as good as Patrick Mahomes, will ever be as good as Patrick Mahomes. I can understand what he's saying, though. Like, remember, start of the season, Mitchell Robinson, I know is not Ben Wallace, but Mitchell Robinson was playing at what? A Defensive Player of the Year level. You had Julius Randle, who's All-NBA, All-Star. Jalen Brunson, All-Star, going to be All-NBA. So, I can see that it kind of gives you that same kind of feel with the physicality, the grit, the toughness.
Listen, I think that we vastly underrate how good that Pistons team was by just, you know, every team that doesn't have a quote-unquote superstar is now that Pistons team.
Right, but I don't necessarily think that that means they're as good. They can remind you and still not be as good. They have similar traits, similar characteristics. I think, well, listen, for me, it comes down to you had West call, you had someone else call and say they don't usually follow basketball, but now they're kind of into this. The way we talk about it is if you like team sports, the Knicks have everything you're looking for as far as...
They have everything because they're gritty and people love that. Greg M. emails in, guys, don't do it. Wait till the series is over at least. You don't want the smoke if they end up coming back. Please tread lightly.
No, see, we're trying to accomplish two different things here. I'm just interested to know what Philly fans think about how Nick Nurse.
So you want to genuinely like let's see what the thought of Philadelphia is, and I'm like, let's destroy Gundling.
Yes, right. Like I want to know if Gundling is supports Nick Nurse and thinks he was trying to call a timeout, right, or they're going to be critical and they're going to destroy him today.
Raymond, Ray,
hi.
Hello, Ray.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm capable of such?
No.
I have a hard time trusting
you. No, which is why we shouldn't do it.
I'm saying this as your friend. I have a hard time trusting
you. So do you think we should not do this because you think I'm not able to do it?
Today may not be the day for it. I'm worried.
I don't want to be responsible for what happens.
And that's the thing. If it does happen, Rick, I will hold you equally responsible because you'd be part of the problem.
You could be complicit in this whole
thing. Right. I don't want that because, God forbid, Jalen doesn't snap out of this. I don't want to be... The reason. Why don't
I
do that?
So I think let's not do it. Unless you want to run point on the conversation.
No, because you can't help yourself.
I can't help myself.
No, I would have to kick you out, and you have to be in a different room.
Well, maybe I say nothing. Maybe you mute my microphone and I say nothing, and you talk to Andrew.
No, because you can't help yourself. You can't. I get it. It's fine.
All right. Unfortunately, I'm not able to, so we can't. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got CMT. We have everything else. We touch the Islanders a little bit. The Mets, the Yankees, the draft. Field Yates, 8:45. CMT on the way as well. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Isles Nation, listen up. ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets to the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. Be there to see your New York Islanders take on the Hurricanes of Carolina in games 3 and 4 at UBS Arena. Enter to win at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Just scroll down to contest, submit your entry. Brought to you by the New York Islanders. Be part of the electric atmosphere at UBS Arena. Get your tickets at NewYorkIslanders.com. By the way, we're right back at it tonight where the Rangers are home, a game you can hear right here at 7 o'clock on 98.7 ESPN against the Caps for game 2 of that series as the reminiscing of 1994 ratchets up a little bit.
Yes. Good old-fashioned playoff hockey.
Oh, so good.
It's the best.
How about the Maple Leafs getting by the Bruins last night?
Well, Maple Leafs, yep, they did. Listen, they
split. And I guess that was the first road win of either the NBA or NHL postseason we saw, right?
All right, they end up splitting. So the interesting thing about Boston is that, you know, last year how they handled their goalies was, I guess, viewed as a little controversial, right? Because the entire season they had kind of 1A, 1B situation.
Okay.
And the way they handled that in the playoffs was not the case. So this year they've kind of, hey, regardless of outcome, we're going to stick to what we do, which is we're going to rotate our goalies. So Swayman plays game one and they win. Now Ullmark plays game two and they lose. So I always found that interesting, is that you put yourself in a spot when you have, you know, you don't have a clear-cut number one goalie, that if you, like, you want to stick to that.
Yeah, always, they're kind of between a rock and a hard place. But here's the thing. Who played last night?
Ullmark.
Ullmark played last night, but they only allowed three goals. I didn't watch the game, like, religiously. Was he bad?
No, he wasn't bad. I'm just saying it opens you up for questions. Like, when you have the, hey, this is our guy.
Right.
Right, you're gonna ride or die with that guy. There's not going to be like, hey, you know, Swayman won. Like, if it's a don't broke, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it kind of situation where it was, you won game one, Swayman played well. Okay, but we said we're going to stick true to what we're going to do. We're going to play with, you know, Ullmark's going to go game two, and now you lose.
Do teams win cups with two goalies?
I would have to think back. I mean, there are times like the second goalie will, I mean, could occasionally play.
Right, occasionally, but like two split goalies if we don't know who we're going to play from night to night?
I got to think back. At what point, you know, whether the goalie got replaced and the other goalie got hot and kind of carried the rest of the way.
Right, but that's not even like two goalies. That's like you replace him with another goalie who now becomes your primary goalie.
Right.
Right,
and I'm saying just like ride him the way.
Right, I'm saying, does teams ever go like, all right, we'll start this guy game four, and maybe we'll go like that? It feels odd.
Yeah. Well, listen, there was a reason. There's a reason why we're in a spot now, right? And just because financially it would make sense too, where you don't want to with the salary cap. But there was this thought that if a goalie plays too many regular season games, there was a number, I don't know if it was 55 or whatever it ended up being, that it was harder. Like statistically, it said it was harder for that guy to play, you know, to get through the entire playoffs and win a Stanley Cup. So they wanted to limit the amount of regular season games. Because back when I first started, I mean, Marty Brodeur was playing 70, you know what I mean? He was playing every single night.
He was exclusively the guy. But I think we've graduated to, you know, starting goalie's going to play 55-ish during the regular season. And when you have a guy, outside of if he has a bad game or gets pulled or gets injured for a little bit, your top goalie's going to play every postseason game.
Right. He was going to be the guy. Win or lose, good game, bad guy, good game, bad game, he was going to be the guy. Like, the Islanders are dealing with a little bit of it here now, too. Where,
yeah, I mean, no, they have it as well.
They got two good goalies. Varlamov has played, you know, played really well down the stretch, so they went with him. And now they're down 2-0. Meanwhile, Sorokin is, when Sorokin's right, he's one of the best goalies in the NHL. Like, and it's not even, like, he is one of the best goalies in the NHL.
Right, so maybe they make the change now.
I probably got to do something.
Yeah, that's going to be you'll know early. Like, hopefully they come out with some juice in Game 3 because they could get run out of the building in Game 3.
They should come out with some juice, though. I would
hope so.
Back home.
I hope so. Time now for the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Bet365. Now, I thought yesterday's Yankees loss was awful. I mean, awful. But it's back to the umpiring, and it feels like we talk about it so often. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that. How in the world do you throw Aaron Boone out of that game? He didn't even do anything wrong.
In the first inning. Yeah, this was not
for
like
the
one
guy
of those
behind him in the stand screaming at the umpire.
Well, yes. I mean, we saw the video. According to Hunter, it was someone in the dugout that said it.
But it wasn't.
No, I know. Listen, I get it. I understand it. I'm with you. On top of that, it's the first inning. It's not like he sat through seven innings of this and just had enough. I wonder how much of this is just Aaron Boone's reputation, too.
He is chatty, and I think you're probably right. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter how difficult or annoying or anything he is, he didn't do anything wrong in this instance.
No, he did exactly what he was told to do. Right? He didn't say anything. He was told to stop, stopped, and then someone behind the dugout says something, and boom, see ya. You're gone.
That's terrible. And it's just another day where the umpiring steals the show and makes baseball look ridiculous.
Well, it wasn't the Yankees offense that was going to steal the show.
Well, that's certainly true.
I mean,
we'll get there in a moment. But I mean, again, here is the back and forth with Booney and Hunter Wendelstedt
making that call.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I'm supposed to do. And check.
him to get hit by the pit. You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay?
Oh, okay, Hunter.
Well, you know what? We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear.
Well,
there you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything. Aaron's saying, hold on a second. I didn't say a word.
How good is that? What a job by Yes, huh?
Yeah, that's great sound.
I mean, what amazing sound. Now, I think it helps because the crowd was pretty much dormant at that point, first inning matinee against the Oakland A's, but what a treat to be able to hear exactly how that went down.
Yeah, I love that behind-the-scenes stuff. Here's the thing. I mean, it's the first inning. He does what you told him to do, which was, hey, I'm not going to sit through nine innings of you.
Which being, I think is fair from
right,
Hunter Wendell's dad.
Being lippy. That's fine. I have no problem with that. Like times with referees, like, I don't know, you know, whatever they had going on, just they weren't in the mood for it, and they would tell you, listen, I'm not in the mood for it. Keep your mouth shut. And you just keep your mouth shut unless you want to keep going, and then you run the risk of getting thrown out or whatever it is. You don't want to hear it? Fine. Do I think you should be as sensitive as you are? No. I don't think referees should be nearly as sensitive as they are. But then to have him do what you asked him to do and not even, like, and you hear something and just assume it's the dugout. And then here's the thing, though. He admits that it wasn't Aaron Boone, but it was someone in the dugout. You never warn the dugout.
Right. But even so, you know what? Then find out who it is and have your other umpires looking to see who it is. And whatever person from the dugout is screaming. It's not like Aaron Boone represents everyone in the Yankees dugout. You can individually and systematically throw other people out of a game.
Which is what they've done.
Right. I mean, if an assistant coach in the NBA is freaking out, they don't throw out the head coach. They throw out the assistant coach.
Well, it's because the reality of what happened was he didn't know who said it. He heard it, assumed it came from the dugout, and was all set with Aaron Boone.
It's a bad look for
baseball. Because in his mind, Aaron Boone is in charge of the dugout.
That's a bad look for baseball.
It's a bad look for Hunter Wendelstadt.
Well, and he represents the umpires, and which oversees baseball, right? I mean, that's what it boils down to. Yes, Hunter Wendelstadt ultimately looks the most foolish, but it's not a good look for baseball. How many days do we talk about bad umpiring or bad officiating? It's constant now.
It feels like almost every day.
It's almost every day, right? It shouldn't be. I mean, we should be able to turn on the microphones and destroy the Yankees for putting that performance, that garbage performance against the Oakland A's yesterday.
That should be the focus. Yeah, but we'll get into that. But, I mean, the big story from yesterday is Aaron Boone being kicked out.
It really is wild. Here's Booney after the game. How do you wrap your mind around getting thrown out there?
Hard to. I really didn't even go after Hunter. You know, I was more upset that, you know, on the appeal, and I said, Hunter, you can call it too. And he came back at me pretty hard, to which I didn't respond. I just said, okay, went down, and it's embarrassing. It really is a bad, it's embarrassing.
It really is. But he's not wrong, man. I mean, that is embarrassing. And the fact that we have the sound and everything else, and you can actually identify the fan who said something that got Boone kicked out. God, it's a competitive, like all these sports, man, it's competitive. This is people's livelihoods. The amount of games you win, your at bats, your batting average, like all that stuff is, it's important. Right? Like, there are repercussions. If Aaron Boone doesn't win enough games, there'll be repercussions. If, name the player, doesn't produce, there'll be repercussions. How much money he makes is directly, you know, depends on how many home runs he hits, what his on-base percentage is, what his slugging percentage is. Like, these umpires, they referees, they need to understand that. So there are going to be times where, in the heat of battle, someone's going to say something. And you can't have rabbit ears and be so sensitive that the second you hear one thing, it's, okay, you're out.
Well, I guess if you draw your line in the sand and say if you do anything more.
Yeah, but this is the first inning, though, Dave.
I get it. But you know what? He draws his whatever. It's the first inning. It's before the game. If the guy's freaking out. But you have to make sure that you're punishing the correct person. You can't punish Aaron Boone for something someone in the stands is saying.
Right. Because he didn't know. He didn't know who said it. He didn't care who said it.
Then you know what? Then unfortunately, you have to take that one on the chin. And you can't throw Boone out if you're not sure that Boone said it.
Right. So Aaron Boone gets kicked out. I'll be interested to see what happens with Hunter Wendelstadt for making this decision. Like, what are the ramifications for him?
What do you think they do? You think they suspend Wendell Stein?
No. Should they? They probably should. Will they? No.
So you think he gets no repercussions?
No, I don't. Because what's it, I mean, what are they going to say? Like, he doesn't, how is Hunter Wendelstadt supposed to know that it was a fan? He can just say, I heard something out of the dugout.
But he didn't.
Well, that's what he'll say.
So they're just going to say it's human error and there's nothing more we can do.
Right, he heard something. He told Aaron Boone that he should keep his mouth shut.
So it's, I mean, imagine that guy's like a plant. Well, it's genius. You're a fan of the Oakland A's. You sit there, you scream whatever at the umpires and they throw the manager of the Yankees out.
You know what you do? You hire Dan Grasso.
Yes, with different voices.
Right, or Frank Caliendo or someone like, hey, listen, what we need you to do
There's a Frenchman in the third row who's screaming at me.
Right. I want you to, can you speak exactly like Aaron Judge? I want you from the stands to say nasty things to the umpire.
Cold beer, big toe, yee-haw. Or maybe Grasso can impersonate specific people. Maybe he has an Aaron Boone impersonation.
I did not do what is in this story.
Yeah. Genius, really.
Grasso could do it.
Suck-lip-lip.
I talked to Grasso yesterday. He said he got some knee issues going on right now.
What's wrong with Grasso?
I went for a little run, and his knee said was cranky.
Walk me through this now. I didn't realize you guys were like on a constant chatty phone call kind of session thing.
Well, I don't think it's constant chatty. I was in the car, heard the show. He mentioned something about his someone called in about him beating his knee, and then Dan said, hey, listen, I'm not 7 feet, and I'm getting older. You know, my knees hurt. And I was like, oh, Dan, you should stay off your knees so much. And he said he had a spirited run.
A run, and the knee is barking after the run.
Yeah, he said left knee, little cranky these days.
Dan's a big runner.
Yeah, I know he likes to run. So you
doesn't have the body of a runner, though.
Yeah, but he's a slight guy.
I know, but I wouldn't look at Dan and say, yep, guy runs a lot. You know?
So you heard that he was unwell and thought to yourself, let me give him a call and see what's going on.
Oh, text.
Oh, tech.
Okay, so because he was doing the show still. Well, he was doing the show. Okay, I was texting
You were in touch via the text.
Yeah.
That's nice of you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, we have our picks together, so I'll get some updates usually on stuff
right.
like that.
You guys have the whole Spencer Strider combination, right?
Yeah, which I'm fine with. Listen, you guys pick Strider too.
We sure did.
What are we going to
sure
do?
Did. Aaron Boone discussed more than just getting thrown out of the game. He discussed the Yankees' offensive woes as well. Here he is.
Yeah, just scuffling a little bit. Still getting a few guys going. We got to mount more than that, obviously. And that's taking nothing away from Sears. I thought he threw the ball, you know, watching on TV, you know, that fastball kind of slider sweeper combination is pretty real. And he came in, you know, his last two starts throwing the ball really well. And, you know, by just watching on TV, you know, he looked really good against us. And then their back end is real. You know, they have a few guys down there that them winning the games they've won, they've been able to close out some games because they got a pretty dynamic back end there. So, you know, we just got to find a way to obviously do a little bit more offensively.
This is more than scuffling offensively. You were horrendous offensively.
Yeah,
yesterday.
I would call it more than scuffling. I mean, you got Volpe's down below 300 now.
Right, he's been bad lately.
Right, Judge 174. So I'll give you some...
Judge is lost at the plate right now.
Right, I'll give you some nuggets here. You'll like these nuggets.
All
right. Aaron Judge is 3 for his last 28. That's 107. Anthony Volpe is 3 for his last 29. That's 103. Rizzo is 3 for his last 26. That's 115. And Gleyber Torres is 6 for his last 43, which is 140. I would say that's scuffling.
Right. Well, they were blanked by Tampa as well, weren't they?
And you actually got, oh, here's the other one. I'll give you another little tasty nugget I got.
Oh, more nuggets.
All right, so the Yankees they've had 34 innings in which they've hit. They've scored in three of them. They scored 5 runs in the 7th versus Tampa. They scored a run in the 1st on Sunday versus Tampa, and then 4 in the 5th on Sunday versus Tampa.
Right. I got to tell you, thank goodness for the Yankees fan that they had that good...
Good start.
Good Sunday inning, right?
Yeah, well, on top of that, you wasted a really good Carlos Rodon start.
He was really good.
You know what's interesting, too, is the Yankees have not hit lefties well at all this season. Right, like right now, the Yankees are 19th. They hit .230 against lefties.
That's brutal. But, you know, it's funny because we never thought we would get back here where the offense was such a slog and such trouble. But, I mean... Yesterday was, and I get it's a matinee, it's the Oakland A's, but you can't lose games to Oakland.
No, you can't, especially when Carlos Rodon pitches the way he pitched.
You need to win the next three games, right?
Well, especially when Carlos Rodon pitched the way that he pitched.
He was terrific.
I mean, that's what we thought the problem with the, I mean, if anything was going to hold this team up, it would be that.
Right. Now you got Stroman tonight on the mound, who's been pretty good, but then they have their ace. Paul Blackburn, I believe, is the ace of the Oakland staff.
Yeah, but Oakland is, I mean, come on. Oakland is a team you got to take care of.
Oh, that's so bad. Although, and I guess you knew about him. I didn't know about this. What's his name? Mason Miller?
Mason Miller, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That guy, so it's funny. I was watching the game with Alex yesterday. He goes, he'll be on the Braves in 3 years.
Electric.
I mean, his stuff is, if he pitched anywhere but Oakland, he would be, like, renowned.
You're probably right.
He is, it's a shame. He is buried in Oakland.
Yeah, well, you get a chance to see him now. Dude, wait till Skeens comes up.
No, but I know who he is.
Right. Have you seen any of the highlights of him though?
Yeah, he strikes everybody out.
Whew.
He strikes everybody out, but he goes like 3 2/3.
I know, he's throwing over 100 miles an hour. It's
consistently. The guy yesterday threw 103.
Crazy, right?
I mean, he may. How many times have you seen Soto and Judge blown away by a fastball?
Rarely.
Rarely.
Especially Soto, yeah.
They were blown away by this guy. Like, he was unhittable. And then he throws like an 88-mile-an-hour changeup and slider.
That's, I couldn't even imagine.
I mean, do you understand how little chance anyone in the world would have against when this guy's stuff is right and going?
No. I mean, you just have to get, if you're lucky enough to guess right, that would be it.
That's a bad loss to the Yankees. So they try to rebound tonight, and they have three more against Oakland. If you don't win the last three, you'd be, I think, severely disappointed, right?
Yeah, I would be. I mean, you listen, as bad as they've been offensively, I mean, they do find ways to win. They've only lost, what, one series the entire season. So, I mean, this is a team that you should take care of.
Yeah, this is a bad baseball team. I mean, when you look at the guys that they send up, it's like, ugh, they stink.
You got Stroman on the mound.
Yeah.
But Judge is the big one that has to figure it out. And they got to decide.
He looks lost.
And they got to decide whether or not they think that, you know, some of Anthony Volpe's struggles are because he's now in that leadoff spot.
And he's putting pressure on himself.
Yeah, I mean that was. I know that like long term, that's where they envision him. But when you start looking at, you know, difference later, you know what he was doing later in the lineup as opposed to what he's doing now.
Right.
I think in the 10 games where he's led off, I think he's hitting 200.
And he started out well in the leadoff spot.
Right, and now he's. Now he's in one a little bit.
Yeah, he really is. And there's your Pinstripe Report brought to you by Bet365. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Raymond?
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
I've
got absolutely no sleep, but I feel great.
So let's be honest now. You slept not a wink?
Not a wink.
Wait, was it because you had a lot of ladies over last night for like a big post-game celebration?
No, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not.
Just one lady came up. She's one special lady now.
I'm not answering that question.
Uh-huh. So you got quiet. So there was one lady.
Did you have just one question. Special lady?
A
over
celebratory
that?
Sleepover.
These are not things that I agreed to talk about.
How do your groins feel? A little sore?
Body feels sore.
So you're full body soreness?
That's correct. I'm listed on the injury report. Upper body soreness, lower body soreness, everything.
So you picked her up. So upper body. Good for you.
That's nice.
Good for you.
You carry around the apartment?
Wild.
Like a sack of vegetables?
You got like a wedge?
Like a what?
A sack of vegetables.
Like a sack of veggies.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. You got like a wedge you use?
I've heard they're nice.
You've heard. See, that's what the half bedroom is. Hey, come
on,
guys. Come on, guys. How many times? How many
of
clues do we need?
Of course it is. He's, you know what he's like? He's like Christian Grey.
Right. He's 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. That's exactly what you are. You know what? He's Christian Santiago.
Yep.
50 Shades of Santiago.
Oh, the most interesting man in the world.
Dos Equis. All right.
I'm actually very boring.
Dos Equis.
Very boring.
Dos Equis.
Dos Equis.
How do you say this? Raymond? You know, RJ couldn't say Dr. J. Shaw. All right.
No, that's not right. Is this Dos Equis?
Dr. Josh. How do you say this? Josh Shea?
J. Shaw.
J. Shaw.
Oh, my God. That still screws me up when I have to do those reads.
Dos Equis. No, it's Dos Equis. How do you say it?
Dos Equis.
Dos Equis.
Oh, my God.
Para dos chicas. He couldn't say Dr. J. Shaw.
Yeah, but he's not. You get paid to be on the microphone.
He gets paid.
Not to be on the microphone.
Well, you know, part of his role on our show is to be on the microphone.
I got to tell you, every time I do those reads, too, that's all I think about. Is him saying that.
Dr. Josh. How do you say it? Josh Shea?
Jay
Shaw.
Oh, my God. I love how do you say it. And is your, like, pat go-to line every time someone just can't say anything? You're like, oh, my God. Like you hear it in everything he says.
I don't know why. That's my you're like, instinct.
Oh my! Like you're so horrified. Like, oh my.
Well, it's
God.
Actually because it's spelled J. It's J A Y. I know. I know. That's not the hard part.
You're like you can hear just the pain in your voice. You're like, oh my God. Like you're embarrassed to be associated with us.
Yeah, well, it's J.
Well, how about
periods?
When you screw up there, Pally?
Periods are very confusing.
There's a lot. That was a tough one for me.
I mean, it's not like you're perfect.
No, I understand I'm not perfect. I have my moments. I don't have as high expectations for me as I do for you guys.
All right. Well, I don't know about that. Raymond, anyhow, are you ready?
Ready as I can be.
CMT.
To cuddle.
I hugged hard bodies the other night.
To marry. Or to trash.
Oh, no. There's real trouble.
That is the question.
And it's been the topic all morning. Sorry to tell you, Nick, who emailed Dave before.
Haters.
Nicks.
I got to tell you. I got to tell you, Mendick is a tough last name.
Baseball Kid for Life 34 tweets in 50 Shades of Ray.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it was right there for you.
I mean, that's perfect.
It was right there for you.
Yeah, well, you know what? I got a lot of things on my mind.
I couldn't help it. I was thinking about you like carrying a sack of vegetables.
That's right.
I don't understand the vegetable thing. Anyway,
To the Knicks and the Sixers.
We feel pretty good after game two, right?
Great.
So now, after we went from snatching the agony of defeat from the Jaws, or however that saying goes.
Oh, God.
or
let's save that one.
Say,
hey,
however
Bauer.
That one goes. Listen,
hey, Bronny, man, let's save that one.
I actually am operating on no sleep, unlike some people here.
Well, whose fault is that?
It's the Knicks' fault.
No, it's your fault.
I was too wired. Couldn't sleep.
So had they lost, you wouldn't have slept. They win, you don't sleep. I mean, you knew you were not getting any sleep last night.
Okay, but it's not the fact that they won.
It's
how they
won.
Yeah, it's the manner in which they won. It was. It's the most excited I've been at the end of a game, I think, since doing this. Like, it was crazy.
And that's Knicks and Rangers inclusive? Were you doing this when Panarin scored the overtime goal against Pittsburgh?
It's between this and probably, and I'm going to give the edge to the Panarin one because it was to win the series.
Right.
So
it was game seven overtime.
Exactly. So, terrifying. So, cuddle, marry, trash, at this point, the most likely outcome. Mm-hmm. Will the Knicks sweep this series? Will the Sixers force a game six, but the Knicks will win? Or, like Joel Embiid says, will the Sixers win?
No, I'm going to – I mean, I don't agree with any of those. I said from the jump that it's going to be Knicks
and
five.
That's why I avoided five. I want to give you something else.
Well, I'm going
to – Well, so you'd have to marry six then.
I guess I'll marry six, but I don't like this. I'll marry six, which means they win in Philadelphia.
See, that's the thing. I think Knicks in five is probably the most likely.
I'll cuddle sweep, and I'll trash Philly wins the series. Philly's not winning the series. Never once have I thought Philadelphia was going to win this series.
So well, let me ask that. You this. Let me ask you this, okay? Game three, Jaylen struggles again, and they lose.
Ugh.
Then what?
I said all I need to do is win one game.
A real concern,
Philadelphia.
Though? Any concern?
Yes, slight concern, but as long as I win one of the two in Philadelphia, then my concern is limited.
Well, but I'm saying, though, if you lose game three and he doesn't play well, how would you feel
yes.
great about winning game four at that
I
point?
I wouldn't feel great. I would have slight concern.
Right.
Yes.
Am I still crazy? I really do believe Jalen's going to snap out of this. I really do.
That's not crazy.
No, it's not crazy, but I mean, so first game, struggles. Feel good about him bouncing back in game two. Game two comes, struggles. I mean, we haven't seen it yet. We saw it last year. Because I'm with you. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's going to snap out of this. But I don't love the choices either. I'm going to say I agree with what Dave said.
Before you go on to the next one, Raymond,
sure.
You're listening to DNR 98.7 ESPN WEPN FM. Where?
New York.
All right, on that note, I'm going to play that Joel Embiid cut for you.
So I know, so, you know, we're good. We're going to win this series. You know, we're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
He disagrees with you. He says the Sixers are going to win the series.
There have been a lot of lies set around this dinner table here tonight.
I'm not going to call
people. Say whatever he wants.
I'm not going to call people liars. But, you know, here's Nick Nurse after the game saying he called timeout.
We don't get it in quick. I call timeout. Referee looked right at me, ignored me, went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started, and yeah.
All right. Okay.
I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure I get his attention. But
let me interrupt him for a second.
Go ahead.
Shut him down. Shut him down.
Go ahead.
So if you're going to sit there on a microphone and tell me that you called timeout the first time and he ignored you, why now not make it your business so he doesn't ignore you the second time? If you really thought he ignored you the first time, all right, well, let's get animated then and make sure he's not going to ignore you the second time.
Because it's not true.
Right, because he's not true.
It's not true.
So there's those two. And then there's the aforementioned Hunter Wendelstedt, who said in the pool report, this isn't my first ejection. In the entire of my career, I've never ejected a player or manager for something a fan has said. I understand that's going to be part of the story or something like that because that's what Aaron is portraying. I heard something from the end of the dugout, had nothing to do with his area, but he's the manager of the Yankees, so he's the one who had to go. And again, he's saying that he says it's coming from the dugout, and I'm not going to eject the player because the people don't want to see the Aaron Boone. They want to see the players. They came to see Hunter Wendelstedt, by the way.
Such a ridiculous analysis of the situation.
Boone is the one who had to go. So, of those three, and I'm not going to call anyone liars here, what's the biggest untruth of those three statements?
No, you go ahead.
No, man. Biggest untruth. Oh, God. I'm going to marry Nick Nurse. I'm gonna cuddle Wendelstedt. Just because I don't know for sure he knows it was someone in the stands. And then I'll trash Embiid.
All right, clearly I'm going to trash Embiid. Like, I think he's misguided and will be wrong, but I think he believes that, and what he's saying is not.
I don't think he believes it at all.
Well, why would he say it?
How am I supposed to? I tweeted this too, but how am I supposed to take seriously a man who's got his head in his hands? He did not look up to see the reporters one time during that locker room scrum. One time.
No, and I get that, but I think of the three things you're giving me to choose from, that's the one that's the most believable. Like, I watched video of Nick Nurse not calling timeout, and now he's saying, I was calling timeout. He's lying. And Hunter Wendelstedt looks ridiculous. I mean, this idea that Aaron Boone is the representative for everybody in the Yankees dugout is absurd. Is absurd. So I will trash Embiid. I will cuddle. Oh, God. I'll cuddle Wendelstedt and I'll marry Nick Nurse as the biggest liar.
Rick, I have good news.
Oh, I hope it's great news.
Your long national nightmare, it's finally over.
Oh,
Zach
yeah.
Wilson, he gone.
He gone.
He's gone to Denver. So he's just the latest in a long line of Jets quarterbacks who selected somewhat high, who've kind of all struggled. So I'm going to avoid the low-hanging fruit here, and I'm not going to ask of, you know, which one is the worst. But I'm going to ask you, and this I got to point this out. It's during their Jets tenure. So it's not what they may have become later or what they can become in the right. No. As a Jet, you've got it's a minute 30 left. You're down by 4 points. You need that touchdown. This quarterback takes the field as a Jet. Which one do you feel most comfortable with having the ball? Is it Zach Wilson? Is it Sam Darnold? Is it Geno Smith?
When they were Jets?
When they were Jets. Not now. I know Geno's got a nice record now.
Right. So
I'm not talking about what he is in Seattle. I'm talking about what he was as a New York Jet. Oh.
I'm going to marry Sam Darnold. I always thought he got a raw deal, and I thought he was better than he played here. I'm going to cuddle Geno Smith. I think Zach Wilson was a train wreck. I think he was an awful, awful quarterback. And we treated him like such a baby where it's like anytime he played decently well, we, you know, put on kid gloves. And, oh, look at him. I think he was bad. I think he was bad for New York. I think the way he handled things was bad. I'll trash Zach Wilson.
Wow, not great options, are there?
No. By the way, might I say, this is not nice to do to Ray, to Rick. This is not nice at all.
No, it isn't. Here's another one, though, where, I mean, I want to disagree with Dave because that's the point of this game, but I can't. I'm going to marry Sam, I'll cuddle Geno, and I'll trash Zach.
Zach had some notable, like, last-second drives, though. It did happen.
Yeah, but you're talking about
what
a game.
What last-second drives did he have?
A meaningful game down four. Meaningful, right? This means something?
No, just any game.
What last-second drives did Zach Wilson have?
Didn't he have one against Denver? Maybe that's why they had. Maybe that's why they traded for him.
Well, he had a nice drive against Kansas City.
Yeah, but Kansas City didn't win the game.
No, they did not win the game.
I mean, what last-second drive did he have?
Raymond, listen, it's not your fault. It's their fault. Anyone wondering Zach Wilson's Jets career, this is among 42 quarterbacks that have qualified for this list, which means they've had 15 or more starts since 2021. Completion percentage, care to guess where Zach ranks out of the 42?
I'm going to say 40.
No, that's last. Touchdown interception ratio.
That's going to be last.
That's last. Yards per attempt.
Last.
39th. Total QBR out of 42 is?
41.
That a boy.
41 on the button?
41 on the button.
Huh, very nice.
Not great.
Zach had five fourth quarter comebacks and game winning drives, by the way.
Oh, nice.
You wouldn't think it's that many.
I don't remember any of them.
One was against the Giants.
Oh, that's, yeah, okay.
It counts.
Yeah, no, I guess.
And the game against Philly, that was one.
Yeah, but that wasn't you presented down four final moments. That he did not do that. It was a pick six that won them the game.
I'm just happy we got something. Paid half his salary. We moved up 50.
That's something. You got a 53 six spots. And traded a seven.
Right, we moved up 53 spots and paid half his money. It's better than cutting him.
I guess. I don't know what that was about.
Don't you think it's better than cutting him?
Yes, it's better than cutting him. Of course.
Right.
You don't have to eat all the money, so that's a win.
I choose to focus on the positives.
There you go.
All right. I'm doing. See, here's the thing. This is more negative.
I like it. Let's be negative.
I'm very uncomfortable in the studio today with Tom.
Because Tom's outfit?
Well, yeah, because Tom is a traitor. That's why.
Well, can he be a traitor if he was never like, you know, he fills in, but he's way more on other shows than he is on this one, right?
All right. You want to make excuses for him? That's fine, right?
I'm trying to find the logic here. Okay. I try to.
So now you're protecting him against us?
No, I'm not. I'm actually not. I want to get to the bottom of this.
Right. I'd like you to take him in your half bedroom and punish him.
Excuse me?
I will do no such thing.
All right.
But Tom is actively rooting against
him. Tie him up and throw away the key.
For the Dinko the Mayo, I guess is what we're calling it. So I need to know what you think is the most likely reason for Tom just refusing to back you in this.
Oh, I like this.
So, you know, he seems to throw out that he's hedging his bets and he just wants to root for the winner, which would imply that he doesn't think you guys are winners.
Right.
Does he actually hate you? Which, I don't know, sometimes I get the little hints that he does. Or could it be that we're all just misreading the situation and he actually really does love Anita and Amani?
All right, who goes first here?
I think I go first.
Thanks, Rick.
Go ahead.
All right, so I'm going to marry. He thinks they're going to win, so that's why he's rooting for them. I'm going to cuddle that I think he might hate Dave a little bit. Aww. And I'm going to trash because it's just he really likes Anita and Armani.
A lot of people are not picking up on the Armani thing, by the way.
Because we have no respect for his real name.
No, that's not the case. It's because someone called, what was it, Anita's show?
Said Armani?
I think it was Anita's show. Someone called Anita's show and was going after me, and then he was like, well, you and Armani are going to win that match.
Well, I'm telling you why. I'm still calling him Armani.
No, so am I.
That's why I have no respect. None.
All right. Well, I mean, someone loving Anita and Armani is preposterous. So I'll trash that.
Oh no.
And that makes no sense whatsoever. I'll agree across the board again. He probably hates me a tad. I'm not sure why, because you know Rick also gives him a very hard time. This throwing that he hates me. I mean, you're the one that makes fun of him all the time, and his outfits, his attire, his large.
Well, I said the
friends.
Both of you.
Yeah, but Rick just pointed at me when he gave.
I say it lovingly though.
No. Bauer, let me ask you this. Who would you say is nastier towards you, me or Rick?
I'd probably go with you.
Okay.
That is your answer.
Well, you know what? Then you come by it honestly, you jerk. And then us not being winners, I'd marry that. I think that's what he believes.
You're going to prove him wrong, though.
Oh, 100%.
We're heavy dogs, Raymond. We're heavy dogs in this.
Not a lot of people believe in you guys.
That's, you know what? That's the way I like it.
Oh, yeah. By the way, why would he hate Dave? You called him Damer.
I called him Dahmer.
Dahmer, not Dan. He's not Gordon.
Dahmer. Right. Well, you know what? If the serial killer resembles, then that's what you call someone.
Ugh. Are you now calling Gordon a serial killer?
No, I'm calling Bauer a serial killer looker. He looks just like Dahmer. Same hair and everything.
My goodness.
While we're on the Dahmer and Dahmer of it all, Dahmer on Sunday actually said that you guys are the favorites.
Really?
His matchup. He's rooting for you guys.
See, because Gordon is a great human being.
I will
Dahmer you. That's why.
I love Gordon.
Because he's the best of the best. You know what? Next time RJ is away, Gordon fills in for him.
No.
Why?
Because Gordon's not going to want to fill in for RJ.
Why? He runs point on stuff you missed. Maybe we'll let him do CMT. He does 3-star. We give him everything.
No.
The Open.
No, that's disrespectful to Gordon. If I take off or you take off is when he should fill in.
All right, you know what? Then he should.
He has.
And get Gordon in the captain's chair.
I think they appreciate that when they hire, you know, bring in Grassa, you're getting more than just Grassa. I mean, he brings that versatility.
Do you think they have to pay his voice? Like, we have to pay four people because he brings many voices to the table? How do you think that works?
He's a utility guy. You bring in, he can play multiple positions.
And now a word from True Green. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn, completely guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.